Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hello, Iron Fist fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. We are taking care of episodes 11 and 12, Lead Horse Back to Stable and Bar the Big Boss, and we will see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So I think we've graduated from hipster autocorrect poetry to hipster slam poetry.
I think so.
At this point, because these make a little more sense, but they're also still kind of like...
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Iron Fist After Show, you guys. We are on AfterBuzz TV. We are looking at episodes 11 and 12, Lead Horse Back to Stable and Bar the Big Boss. We are so close to the ending, you guys. So close. With me tonight is Mike Kalinowski.
Hi, guys. Ladies, how are we this evening?
Hi.
Hello,
how are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing good. Good to be here. Two more. Two down tonight, and then one more.
Where can the people find you?
Find me at Mike Kalinowski. Pretty simple.
Joelle Monique.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Lucretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at Lucretialyon anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have a Twitter hashtag for the show. It's ABTV Iron Fist. We're also pulling up the live chat in just a moment. So if you have something fun to say about these, if you want to have any comments, if you have any bad puns, because we could always use bad hand puns, let's be real. Throw them the hashtag, puns. Throw them in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. So we're close to the end.
Yep.
And we've killed some people. What do you think of these episodes?
Yay, death.
They did. Yeah, okay. That's a good way to do it. What do you think?
You know, it to me has kind of hit its stride in a lot of this. I like that, you know, Colleen quickly got out of the cold. I wish that it had happened a little bit better for her because I didn't like that turn with her character. But I will say the little Tai Chi scene with them at the end was pretty adorbs.
It had the most hilariously incongruous music.
Yeah. Like, thank you.
Yeah, it was the music.
It was some weird music. It didn't fit at all. It's super
an
awkward.
Amazing, amazing song by Anderson .Paak. It is wonderful. And I was pissed that they decided to use it here. I'm like, you have the rights to this, and you're using it here? Like, this does not feel like calm morning Tai Chi music. Nah, like, come on.
This is, we keep going back to Arrow.
Yeah.
But the world's worst sex scene is Arrow Season 1 because they play Imagine Dragons Radioactive over it. Yeah.
Like, that is not like, a sexy song.
No! And so for me, that's like, that is the worst music to scene I have ever seen. This is the second worst.
Yes.
Because this is just like, what the hell?
And it, like, I'm one of those people that is so bad it's funny to me, so I enjoyed it, but
not their intent,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think it was.
Honestly, if we hadn't had the last 5 minutes and we'd chosen different music for that, I feel like we could have just wound down to the end of the season there. Like, if this had been our final scene of them doing the kata together and just kind of mellowing out, if there had been a different song choice, I would have fully bought, okay, this is the end of the series, we're good here. Like, I would have been down with that. I know most Marvel series don't end that way, but that to me seemed like an ending point. We had this incongruous music, and then we had, you know, the last scene of get out now!
Yeah,
I thought it was very odd that they just didn't end it there. And then I like that Ward was warning him, but at the same time, it's just, there's more to this before the Defenders here.
Like, we do need
what else we got now?
We do need to set up for the Defenders, though, because we know Gao and the Hand are going to be the villain for the Defenders, so I think we need to bring them back in. I think this is... We're wandering into predictions territory already. It's great. Yeah, I think we need to see what happened to the complex now that Bakudo is gone, and I think we need to make Madame Gao a player in the Hand again. Yeah, good times and great oldies. So that's the end of these two episodes. It's been a good after show, you guys. If you want to...
follow us on Twitter,
kidding. So I really want to talk about Davos. I know Danny is the point of these two episodes, but I just really want to talk about Davos.
Did anyone else want to explore this story through Davos' perspective?
Yes!
He is way cooler.
He is... Go ahead.
his, I don't know if, I don't know if casting wise, I like him, but it just doesn't, it's so far off from what I would picture. I don't know if that makes any sense, of what he was in the comics. I don't know if Kunlun is more of a multi-mix ethnicity. Does that make any sense?
That definitely seems what they're going for. Because in the comics, it's not. In the comics,
it's Asian.
Yeah, it's a mix of different Asian cultures, to be honest. And then Danny shows up, and he's a white boy, and so he's the other, the outsider.
The outsider.
But that's definitely not the case, at least from what we've been shown so
far in the
universe.
Yeah, I don't know what the actor that plays Davos, what his nationality is, but he doesn't seem Asian to me. I could be completely wrong. But he seems like there's a mix. He is a very exotic-looking man. And I think Kunlun, I think that was their idea. They wanted it to be just this multi-ethnic hot melting pot of people. So it does throw me off a little bit. I mean, he's a very strong actor. It shows the weakness of what else when he's around other people.
You're talking to someone who wanted an Asian-American Iron Fist. So
okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
it was...
That's been my flag in the ground.
I enjoy
from
the guy, though. I enjoy any time he's on screen, though. So.
Oh, he's glorious.
Yeah.
And I feel like for these two, three episodes that we've had him, he's been a very good counterpoint to Danny.
Because he's
presumably born and raised in Kunlun and knows the traditions. And we get that one little scene in Kunlun of Danny guarding the pass and Davos being like, you know what your entire life is going to be. It's this whole thing. Isn't that great? And Danny being like, oh.
I love the scene with him and Claire where he's like, she's talking about dragons. And he's like, well, what's wrong with that? You don't believe in that? There's dragons. I've seen them, basically. How could you not believe that there's dragons? I thought that was great.
Yeah, well, that's why they should do my show from last week, Keeping It Real with Davos and Claire.
Well, and her also researching energy healing and Reiki because it's seen as a soft practice, but she literally just witnessed it happen, and hey, weirder things have happened. She lends Luke's shirt to Danny, and I just about lost
it. That's who it was. Okay.
It does not hold in that shirt.
I was
Luke
interested,
Cage.
Like, why'd she get that? And then that
do you know what else for that shirt
out?
Needed to be like four times larger on his body, though? Is that Luke's shirt, though? Are you hanging out with other people getting shot?
I'm not one to body shame anyone, but man, that guy, there's some scenes of him with his shirt off. I was like, you are skinny, dude. You are a thin man. I know we talked about that early on, like you should have put on some weight, but just sitting there, that one scene, I was like, wow, just... I'm not skinny shaming anyone, but man, I was like, holy.
But he has
geez.
The body of a 14-year-old boy.
He's a wiry
or my little brother.
You can say, a woman saying it as opposed to a man, so I'm not, you know, bashing on him. But yeah,
well,
it was interesting.
I feel
but
like
it should have draped him. It should have been
I feel like they probably put him in that shirt, and then it was like, okay, this looks really bad on
that
film. Like, we're beyond where the joke is, and now it just looks sloppy.
Okay, all right.
I think it would have made the joke though. Especially when they meet later, like their relationship is such an important, like their size difference and all these other things, and they should be a comedy duo.
I need it to start with "I wore your shirt once."
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. And it would have been great to see him be like, "Who? Do you date a giant? What's happening inside of this
just
shirt?"
Hold it,
I did just
go,
love the
putting, who wore this thing,
but like, this show does not like comedy.
Now, how do you feel? Because
the show doesn't like anything.
I'm very worried about when him and Luke meet because of their dynamic and how great it... And I know this is not the comics, but their dynamic of being the kind of off-kilter, kind of crazy party guy, and then Luke Cage, who's the stoic, and now they're both this stoic... It's like, what are we going to get here?
Yeah.
And Luke, Jessica's not the most jovial person, and neither's Matt, so it's kind of like...
Who's the comic relief?
I have a feeling that for the Defenders, Luke Cage will be more the heart of the team as opposed to Danny, who usually is the heart of the team.
Yeah, okay.
He'll definitely need to find a new perspective. Hopefully the writers were kind enough to write one in where he's you know, maybe evolving into a slightly different person, because you're right, there's a lot of sameness on the team right now.
Yeah, and I mean, as long as we keep Claire in there... Because Claire is the heart of everyone right now. And she has a good sense of humor and zero nonsense and zero putting up with any of this noise.
Yeah,
and also introducing Davos to the concept of pizza.
So
that
good.
Was just one of my... We got the fish out of water stuff that I have wanted for ages in this show with Davos. What's pizza? What do you mean dragons aren't real? Well, you said the internet was super helpful, and it turns out it is. I'm like, how did Danny know about the internet? It wasn't a thing 15 years ago. Okay, whatever.
Well, maybe Kunlun has, you know, Wi-Fi.
It's not... I'm thinking of Doctor Strange, and I can't remember the name of the place, but here's the Wi-Fi password. No barbarians.
Yeah. Shangri-La.
Thank you.
Yeah, and to me, it's just like the Danny, Luke, and just the whole Defenders dynamic. It's not going to be heroes for hire. It's going to be emos for hire. I mean, we don't have any little fun guy in there.
Aww. Well, and you, we're going to have a different writing team from Iron Fist to Defenders. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they will be able to take all four of these characters and click them together in a way that works.
Yeah,
and hopefully we can kind of lighten things a little bit, because I know Netflix series are usually, they're very dramatic and they're very this. But I'm like, we still need a few moments where we can just sit there and laugh like crazy.
Yeah.
Davos and pizza, again, lost it.
Yeah, 10101010110100010. I hope I said your name correctly.
You are now A10.
Wow. Yeah,
amazing.
They said they might be trying to use these sidekicks for the comic relief, like Davos and Claire and stuff. But
I consider them sidekicks. I consider them more interesting characters.
For sure. And Ward. I love Ward.
God bless Ward. You know, I let's segue into that. We'll come back to Davos because he fills in a lot of this episode and a lot of the later part of the second episode. But let's talk about Ward.
Oh, baby Ward.
Let's talk about how badly Ward has been hosed by all of this. And let's talk about that. You no longer have withdrawal symptoms. You're fixed, miracle drug.
Yeah.
Magic science that happens once and never comes back? Question mark?
I mean, maybe they're saving it for the Defenders. It's going to be my answer for everything. Hopefully this comes back. I mean, and that's kind of one of the great things about doing multi-platform storytelling is that you can fill in gaps later. If Clone Wars taught us anything, you can make a terrible property good by filling in the plot holes in a show later.
This is true.
Maybe it'll happen and it'll all make sense later, but
we're putting a lot on the Defenders because of the missteps
and it's only
of this show.
Eight episodes, so I don't know about. I don't know. It's
hopefully it'll be a tight, really well told.
And it is the same showrunner. This from Iron Fist is the showrunner of Defenders, that's going for it. So we'll see.
God bless America.
The Ward stuff. I just don't get into it. I know I can pause it, but. That's when I get up to run and get a drink in the kitchen or something. Whenever like a Ward or Meacham scene and that stuff comes up, I'm just kind of like, okay.
Oh, I do that whenever it looks like a fight scene's going to start.
I love Ward.
Put my popcorn on the pop. There's not going to be any dialogue. I got 2 minutes to pop my popcorn. Okay. Hell yeah.
I like Ward. Even though, first of all, like the classic 80s douche makes such a great villain, and he played so hard into that coming in. And I honestly didn't expect, like it was a little on the nose, but it was one of the things that was fun for me in the beginning, to see the transition to now, where now you have a Ward who is kind of new, maybe one of the most nuanced characters on the show. He's juggling the most. Like, I found myself way more involved in his story than I even do Danny's story.
Oh, yeah, that's how I've been from the beginning, because I love Tom Pelfrey. I mean, he's a soap actor, so of course I'm going to be biased.
Did he play a serial killer, Lucretia, at one point?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm going to find it for you.
Oh, wait, he was on SVU, but I don't think he
did. Yeah. Well, he's had, I think, one of the best character arcs in this series. And he's a cool motive still murder kind of character. Like, he's still doing awful things, but now you've gotten a look at him and you've gotten a look inside his psyche and you've seen what he's been dealing with for all of his life. And the fact that he thought his dad's death would mean his freedom twice. And it hasn't happened.
Right.
Poor baby Ward.
And here's this guy from The Hand coming up to him and saying, look, we know you're involved. Look, we know that there's this. I am offering you a way out. I am offering you a way to permanently kill your dad and for us to work together in RAND. I am offering you a way. I'm making your life so much better, and we're going to get you out of this mental hospital that your dad put you in, which I think was a mistake on Harold's part.
I mean,
that problem is obviously not gone forever because people get out of this hospital.
But Ward's got cameras everywhere. Ward's got cameras everywhere. So, or I'm sorry, Meacham's got characters everywhere, so he'll be fine. I really enjoy watching Ward try to come to terms with the fact that he's going to attack his father. Like, this idea of finally turning his back. I'm kind of surprised Ward is as like cool as he is after all the things that he's been through. But a person who controlled my life that much, I probably would have like pushed them off a building or jumped off a building myself. That's just it's so confining. But it kind of sucks that he pushed his sister away in the process.
I think he's had his moment of just complete passion and rage and everything coming to a head. And that's when he killed his dad the first time around. I think now he's just done. Just anything I can do to get me out of here, I'm going to do it. And Bakudo comes in with this offer on a golden platter saying, hey, I'll solve all your problems and we'll work together as business partners and we'll be partners. I won't sit on high and tell you what to do. We'll work together. And then, of course, Bakudo is every bit as bad as his dad, just in a different flavor. No, you don't get to leave. Also, I'm going to shoot your sister, and your life is on the line as well if Daddy doesn't show up. Oh, well!
Always get it in ink. Get lawyers, sit them down, drop your contracts. People, word doesn't mean anything.
Not that Bakudo cares about contracts.
No.
I like what Havoc 6280 says in the chat. Danny and Ward are mirror images. Both lived in the shadows of their dead daddies.
That's a really
good point. Gonna bring it back around. Yeah, yeah.
That was very insightful. Thank you for that.
Well,
but yeah, so Ward's life sucks, and I think what's really telling about the entire Meacham family as it stands are Harold's last words when he thinks he's about to be beheaded. Do you have any last words? Yeah, Ward, I put everything I could into you, and I tried to make you a good person, and you are a complete disappointment and the biggest regret of my life. Joy, I love you very much. Don't ever trust your brother. All right, I'm good. Like, holy
cow. Nice family
moment
here.
Yeah.
The very last thing that you do on this earth, and you know that this time there's no coming back, and it's to completely destroy your son and to destroy any relationship that your children might have had. Wow. If we have any questions about whether Harold Meacham is a form.
I find it, I don't know, like, poor Julie. Like, at this point, you got your father back, only to discover that he's a crazy person. Then your brother kills him, so that's pretty awful. And now to have to question for forever, not just your brother and whether he's got your best interest at heart, but also herself. Like, Joy did a lot of shady-ass things in the name of her brother, in the name of her father, in the name of the company.
Yeah.
So I think that she'll be struggling. I kind of hope we see her struggle with, like, am I a good person and am I doing the right thing?
Well, and Joy also did her best not to get anyone killed, and that was part of the, did you order the killing of this person? And so when you say you're going to take Bakudo down, you mean we're going to get him arrested, right? No, we're murdering him. No.
We should kill Bakudo. Bakudo should die, Joy. Yeah. Okay.
But she doesn't know
that.
That
is a bad guy.
Right,
She just knows that a lot of people are starting to die around the company. It's like, can we maybe not? She's willing to go for blackmail. She's not willing to go for murder. Like, there is a line in the
Just
thing.
Drug him and put him back in the mental hospital, Joy. It's cool. You got that moved down.
Yeah, that mental hospital gets so many referrals from the Meachums. They named a wing after him.
Yeah. I'm the hand still, like, all their involvement with Bakudo.
That's not going to dissolve. I'm betting the Gao is going to move in and dance.
He just, and I don't know if it's because the way that they cast it, because of the two separate factions of the hand. Something just doesn't seem right with me with Bakudo. I don't know. Like I remember, like, Nobu. He fit, like, this whole motif when I think of the hand. Like, they don't look... His version of their hand, it's lost its threat to me. But they're either training all these students. It's like...
It's a little too UC Berkeley.
Yeah, it's kind of like, not to, you know, use the Ninja Turtles reference of the foot, but it's like that where they were stealing street kids off the street and teaching them how to be ninjas. It's like, so you got all these kids that, you know, or whatever. He looks not like he can take care of himself, we've seen he can, but, like, I remember, like, Nobu and the hand, there was such a threat with them and Gao anytime they showed up. And I don't know if that was the whole point of the show. We wanted to do Splinter Off and to show that they blended in better to society. I don't know. It's weird to me. And again, it's one of the things with the show that just has not resonated with me. Like, the hand is such a... should be this massive force, you know, that you're terrified of. And Bakudo shows up walking in like, you know, some guy down the street. Like,
and we've spent this time, one of them is a splinter group. We don't know if it's Gao's or Bakudo's. Yeah. We have absolutely no idea. He has honestly blended in very well, bringing in people who have been trained, who were off the streets, who didn't have anything better.
Yeah.
That is how you get very devoted followers into your cult, is you give them the things that they either never had or no longer had. So... it's a sound business strategy in terms of I'm going to rule the world someday.
Right.
But you're right. It doesn't seem like the menacing everyone's ninjas things.
It almost seemed
but
like...
But I feel like we blend into real life. There's a hand doctor at the hospital. There's many hand doctors at the hospital.
Yeah, that sounds great. I wonder if they...
There's hand lawyers. There's maybe, hand... It's a very smart, modern approach.
Have you... I mean, I don't... Not that I remember it in the show, but there was never this, you are the old school version of the hand. We are new. This is... Like, you know, you see these movies and TV shows a lot where they're like, your way, you're the old people, you don't work. We have to do it this way now and adapt to modern times. Your old ways and tradition, it doesn't work. But they've never done like that where it's like, Bakuda would be like the new hand.
Kind of. The new hand and the old hand.
But it just seemed like, you know, that would have been, you know, our way works. Look at what we've done. We've infiltrated everything. You guys stick out. You know, you're... It's your ninjas and your robes and your traditions. It doesn't work. And
we never had a confrontation between Bakuto and Gao.
Again, yeah, there you go.
We had them talking at each other through Danny and talking to Danny about each other, but we never really had any direct conversation between the two of them. So we have, well, he's hand. Well, she's hand too, but she is the splinter group. No, he's the splinter group.
We
never really had a, you're a traditionalist, you're not going to survive in this world. Excuse you, have you seen the people under my thumb and the sheer amount of capital that I can move?
Right.
Like, we never really saw that.
Yeah. I also feel like it's a fault of not having a clear villain. Bakuto should have been our villain.
We do. We don't know.
No.
Do we?
It's no. Like the meat
was
like the
was our villain, and then she backseated, and then Bakuto was our villain, and he's dead? Question mark.
Right.
And we know it's going to be Gao.
Are in positions of the villain, but we kind of like them, and we get to know them, and they become kind of tragic, and not like. In the way, like, Breaking Bad had really great villains that you could care about, but they're still very clear, like, that person is evil.
Cool motive, still murder.
Exactly. There's no sense of that throughout the show, and I think it's a hugely missed opportunity. Like, I think we could have done all of the Meacham stuff just with a little less and have Bakuto in the front with Colleen Wing, episode, like, 2 or 3, easy, where he's like, oh, no, we need you to come back to the fold. And so but now she's not there to help Danny, and so the Danny's got to, like, what are you doing? This is the hand. Why are you with the hand? What is going on? I feel like it would have been a much more interesting storyline throughout the series.
That would have required us to have development within the first
what?
6 episodes.
And why would you need that?
I know, right? It's only half the series. Yeah. I'm not bitter. So, yeah, we have, good Lord, we have the Meachums falling apart as a family. Mm. We do manage to get Joy to the hospital, and we have this nice little... Oh, where are you staying? Oh, are you back at the dojo? Oh, okay. And just this really, really... I loved these horribly awkward scenes between Ward and Harold sitting there in the hospital waiting room because Harold is obviously still out of his mind and very much just straight up told his son, you're an awful human being, you are a mistake, I regret everything about you, and now I'm going to tank whatever relationship you still had with your sister. Now he has to live, they both have to live with the consequences of those words.
Yeah.
If they're last words, you can usually say them consequence-free because you're not going to be around. Oh, no, they're both around. And these super awkward hospital moments are just the best.
They resonate.
Yeah, I agree. The show, I apologize. The show is so frustrating to me. It is so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
I know we've talked about it ad nauseum. It's just like, I want to like it. I do. I want to like these characters, but I'm just kind of, even Colleen, who those first 4 or 5 episodes, like, oh, this is, the show should be now. We're like, I don't like her.
Well,
as soon as she falls for Danny.
She's lost her. But again, for her character, it's a great arc. But for us as audience members, we had someone to cheer for. We really didn't have anyone to get behind on this show. And for a while, it was her. I was like, okay, thank God for Claire. Thank God for Rosario Dawson on this show. Because anytime she pops up, it just elevates the whole material.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about Colleen a little bit. Because, yeah, they did do her a disservice the second they said, she's in love with Danny, and also she's hand, and we're going to introduce both of those concepts in this same episode. And now that's her arc. Go. And it took away a lot of the fighting in the ring and what that meant to her.
Yeah,
and
that stuff.
Changed what having her students there and what they meant to her meant. And it also took away a little bit from she's running a dojo, she's on a shoestring budget, she's doing the best that she can when she has UC Berkeley at her back. That could always toss her rent if anything happens.
That should have been... her students are getting training, but where are you guys going? Why? What happened? And find out that her students are being trained at this new place. She's like, and finds out that that's the hand, whose students, it's like, that could have been such a great dynamic between her and her students.
Doesn't
like,
Colleen know she's part of the hand?
She does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now
but
she
but
does.
But if we removed the she's part of a hand, and it right. was, oh, well, you got an answer.
I see. I was like, wait, did I completely...
Or if she's
yeah, you're not showing up anymore. What happened? You guys were here all the time. What's going on? It's like, oh, well, we're doing, we got other stuff going on. And she has to spy on them and finds out they're part of the hand. And then
I like that much better than the fighting ring. Or if the fighting ring was run by the hand and that was like, and they were recruiting people from
there.
Yeah. Like, I like, yes, yes.
It feels like someone picked up the show in episode 6 and took it in a different direction.
Mm. Maybe. Who knows?
And this tends to be different. To be fair, this tends to be a habit of the Marvel Netflix shows. You get the first 6 episodes, which have like a very serious kind of directional flow, whether it's Jessica Jones and drinking and trying to become human again, or Luke Cage trying to disappear within this community but also uplift it at the same time. And then in the second half, Luke is a redemption story. In the second half, Jessica is facing her fears as opposed from hiding from them. So I think that that's kind of standard of Marvel. The problem is they didn't go in a new direction that was dynamically juxtaposed to the first half, and so it doesn't resonate as
yeah, we never got it.
Yeah,
as
his next step, like you like for the back 6 episodes are always like the hero's next journey.
Yeah,
is his next part, and we never get that.
Yeah, and we also nuke one of our best female characters in the show with that. And we also kind of took Joy off the board.
You're now
a pawn of your father, and now you're getting shot to cause other people pain. We went from putting her in a position of power to being the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, Claire is literally the only character that seems to be removed from that little bit character arc that they love to do for women. Is, you know, they start out as really strong and powerful, like you say, with Joy and with Colleen, and then they turn them into the victim. And it's like, we don't want to see that. And that doesn't make sense here. Certainly not with Colleen Wing.
Yeah.
Well, let's be real. Ward was a very interesting victim. And he's been a victim from the start. He's been terrible, but he's also very much been a victim for years on end. And it was interesting watching it happen with him because there was a narrative in place for that.
And it made total sense, whereas with Joy, it really doesn't. She has been the stronger one. They even have that conversation. So why flip the switch there?
I don't know. It's the episode 6 U-turn. But yeah, we have Colleen choosing to be loyal to the death, trying to get antibiotics for Danny, getting turned in.
Right.
And going willingly, which for me was just like, are we serious here? Are we serious? Okay, we're serious here. And it takes her until she's strapped in a chair in a basement with cages and horrifying medical equipment. And Bakudo basically telling her, at least in your death, you'll still be serving the hand, for her to realize, oh, they really don't care about me. Yeah. Like, girl, you're smarter than that. I get that you've been indoctrinated into this cult, but holy cow, you are smarter than that. So then she fights her way out and beats up her students and leaves. And we have this nice little moment of her and Danny and Davos realizing, oh, that's why you want to stay on Earth.
Yeah.
This person. No other reason.
I mean, I think they should have also played up more of his being pulled into two worlds. Like, you are the defender of Cologne. You have to do that. That's who you are now. But he's like, no, I'm... And, like, Claire had that great scene with him. Like, no, he's realizing what his purpose is here. That's a dynamic that we should have seen so much more of, because Danny never... First half of the season was never fighting with that struggle. He's like, no, I'm the Iron Fist. I got to be here. This is my job. And it's like,
yeah, it would have been really amazing to feel that guilt trip of having left your post. I mean, especially juxtaposed to that opening scene where he is just skipping down the street, oblivious, just happy to be back.
Yeah, I want to get my job. I want to get my office, and I want to get a suit
that,
on.
That hits so much harder if in the next scene he's in the park thinking about Kunlun and like, are people safe there? Is it okay? I abandoned my post. No one is there to protect my city. I don't get a protector feel from him at all because he always seems to be out for himself.
And it's like, you grew up 15 years in Kunlun. That's your family. I would think, you know, he treats Davos almost kind of like a brother a lot. So it's like, you have no one really left on Earth, like, except, you know, the wards, you know, or, you know, Meachums. So it's just like, who are you? 3-4 people? That's your family that you're now the guardian of. That's your job.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is he spent more time in Kunlun
right.
in his life. And, yeah, it made no sense why he came back. and why you're saying, oh, I've got to get claim back my life. It's like, that really wasn't your life. You left when you were 8.
Yeah, so
and I do like that we got that bit of conversation with him talking about, I wanted to be the Iron Fist because I thought it would fix what was broken inside of me, and it didn't. And I'm like, for you, for a character trait, that makes sense. Why the hell did everyone else decide that you needed to be the Iron Fist over the guy that has lived there for his entire life, is 8,000% gung-ho for your traditions, and really super wants to just guard the past for the rest of his day.
And that's why...
Why did you think Danny would be the better choice?
There should have been a massive fight between him and Davos.
Yes!
Like, dude, look what you're doing. You're sitting in a dojo pining over some girl. You took this away from me. I wanted this job. There should have been a massive fight with them. Did we, like...
No, I mean, like a brotherly tame. Like, I needed that thing to come to blows. Blood. Like, because not only did you steal the thing that Davos wanted most, but then you left the city unprotected. And that's literally the only thing they're about, is just protect the city, period, full stop. And especially because Davos is clearly a little bit jealous of Colleen. Not that he wants to be with Danny romantically, but just, like, you have his attention and his respect. And if Danny is the Iron Fist, then I think that Davos kind of admires that. As much as he hates that he got the job, I think he would also admire him for having overcome a lot to get the position. I don't get any of that kind of contentment or anger or even a feeling of rejection from Davos. It's just not there to play off of. It's just not written within the script, and it's frustrating because that's good conflict.
Huh?
See, I disagree. I feel like it's there. I'm with you on the we don't get nearly enough of it. There's a lot of things that we don't get nearly enough of in this series, and honestly, if we were going to do this, Davos should have shown up a few episodes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should have had him for a chunk of time.
He should still have been making tinfoil ninja stars and chucking them at a sad person's head, because that was amazing. But earlier. Yes.
Yeah, just earlier in the season.
Yeah, because having the conflict of, you know, your family back in Kunlun and your family here would have been way more interesting than some of the other stuff. And, like, Havoc brings up the great line from Davos that Danny is the worst Iron Fist ever. He's got room to grow. It's like, you're telling me. And they bring up the fact that, I mean, he did only have, you know... You can only get out of the realm every 15 years, so this was his one chance. I mean, not really. I mean, Danny's not an older guy. And two, I mean, when you've spent the last 15 years on Kunlun, like, why are you wanting to go back to... I mean, that they never really explained a good reason for him to want to go back.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong in the fact that... How are they going to get back?
Yeah.
If it's every 15 years, it's closed. He can't go back for...
The gate...
It's only been like a week or two.
Yeah, gate remains open for a bit. There's some travel time.
Okay, so that's what they're dealing with the gate.
Which we
should be seeing, or should have seen, or Davos come through it.
It would have been really nice.
Something about this.
In these shots we have of the mountains, if we could see like the path closing slowly so that no time is running out.
Let us know there's a... The conflict is there, that there's this clock.
That ticking time bomb. Yeah, absolutely. And to your point about needing a reason to come back, I get a very small subtext feeling of like, oh, well, it's my name and it's my dad's company and I should come back to run it because I abandoned the family that I had and the responsibilities I had back there. That establishes a pattern of running from responsibility, or at least feeling like you... Like having an imposter syndrome, like you didn't live up to expectations. And that would have worked. But we don't even get, like, it's just kind of that opening commercial where Danny's like, oh, Dad. And then that's it. We don't get any more of, like, this was my responsibility.
Yeah.
In the same way that we maybe with, like, Bruce and his parents with Gotham, like, we built this city and it's our job to protect it and make it better. We understand why Batman can't leave Gotham. He's been given a responsibility. It doesn't feel like he's been given any responsibility to the company. He has no idea what he wants to do with the company. He's just like, yeah, I was in a board meeting. Oh, we sell drugs too high? We should probably not do that. Like, there's just no...
Right, right. Yeah.
And in the comics, he goes there to, because he knows the Meachums are running it into the ground, and it's to get it away from them, and, you know, it makes a lot more sense. But they didn't even go that route. They went with... Danny had no idea that they were there and running it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, running it, you know, well. It's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Well, I got less of a, I need to go back to the company, it's my responsibility, and more of a, I never got over this trauma 15 years ago because they beat the emotions out of me and I never dealt with them, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And that really hit with me for... I thought the Iron Fist would fix me, I was wrong. Well, if that's not going to fix what's wrong with him, maybe he needs to go back home and go back to the people who were his family and are still alive. I mean, he goes right to Rand. He thinks that Harold will be there, and Harold was a second father to him. He thinks that Ward and Joy will welcome him with open arms, and they were brother and sister to him. Like,
right.
He goes back to this family. What I'm getting from this is, in the hope of finally dealing with this awful, awful thing that happened to him, and maybe moving on from there. He's looking to be fixed. Becoming the Iron Fist didn't do it. Maybe going back home and dealing with it will.
Yeah, maybe he was listening to, like, Dr. Drew podcast or something. Up it's just like, oh, man, I really need to deal with these traumas.
I am mining for subtext because there is no text. That is what I'm doing. I am digging deep. Yeah. I am an English major. I have an English degree. I've been trained for this for 15 years.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. So there's questions about his motivation. There's been a lot of questions just about the writing straight up. Let's be real.
And Havoc says, you are making some good points here, Katie.
Thank you.
There you go.
You're
validated. You're validated.
I used the text to support my points, and at the end of this, you'll have my conclusion paragraph in which I told you what I was going to tell you. Yeah. So we also have this wonderful, wonderful fight with Colleen taking out Makuto.
Yeah.
Like, beating him in a fight, and straight up, it's not how strong the weapon is, it's how you use it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I like that it showed her...
Back to the dick jokes.
Yeah. I love how it showed her true strength where she didn't kill him. Yeah. And that was the thing, is that sort of for me at least, redeemed her character in some way from all that, is like she had that inner strength, because I would have straight up murdered him.
Yeah. It's time for you to die. You're like misusing my students. I work so hard to get them on a good path and into a good school, and you're just abusing them, and it's awful. This fight was dope.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hey, I know that park. Very cool. I like the openness of it, and I like that we didn't have to cut 58 times in 38 seconds to make it look good. It just was a good fight.
Well, and I did like at the end of it, the discussion over should we kill him, should we not kill him, and Davos just being like, we kill the hand and taking care of it. And I loved just that moral struggle between the three of them. The person who was connected to Bakuto, the person who was raised one way that believes another, and the person who is completely entrenched in the beliefs that he was raised in. Like, that's an interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then Bakuto just disappears because the hand!
That was like, what?
You gotta keep an eye on those bodies. You can't look away.
And that's why I was just like, can you guys please not just fist fight right now? Because it feels a lot like a distraction. All right, there we go. Davos is our jilted lover, and we're missing a body, so life is great.
Just a Lifetime movie now?
Yes. Yes.
It's always been a Lifetime movie. If someone gets pregnant,
it's going to be a super Lifetime movie. Yeah.
It's always been a Lifetime movie. It's been 12 Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
Be real. And then, at the end of this, we have awkward hospital scenes and the dojo getting raided by the DEA.
What the hell's going on? I will say it gave Danny a badass kick. Like, when he came out of that room and, like, spun in the air and kicked the guy in the chest. It's like, that's what we should have been seeing from Danny from the beginning.
That was a good one.
Massive, like, he was probably on a wire doing that. He might not have been on a wire. That might have been a stunt guy that just could have tricked really well. But that's what should have been. And they're hiding his stunt double really well, which the first couple episodes, they either weren't using it or weren't hiding it well. But now it's like, hey, it looks great now.
I'm sure they became more prepared to sign on and be like, okay, these fight scenes aren't looking the best.
Yeah, that's
why
true.
Why don't we create some more shadows? Yeah. And
I'm missing half of the note from our current producer, but I saw a handsome pun in there, and I really like that. The notepad's too low. We can't see it.
We love the handsome.
Maybe they're embarrassed with their joke. It's like, oh, maybe not. There it is.
Was it a handsome pun?
So I think that covers most of this. Before we swing into iTunes and predictions, do we have any final thoughts on these episodes? I'm hoping
for a great finale.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's one episode, so I don't know where it's going to go. You said you saw a spoiler in something on a review, so
that's
I don't know what's going on. Okay, I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm hoping we'll wrap up some of the loose ends.
So you said the Hand and Gao is the Defenders' big bad.
Yes.
So are we dealing with Midland Circle? Midland Circle, the big hole with the hand? Because that's got to be... That has not been dealt with yet.
No, it hasn't. So that might come in as well. Again, we don't know.
And we don't know what Sigourney Weaver is.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for like...
Oh, please don't let her be like some other faction of the hand.
That's, yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
That's predictions territory.
Five factions of the hand. There. Finger.
All right. Well, let's swing it. Don't do it. It's a spoiler.
Ooh. I'm not reading it.
I was going to say, we are swinging it. No, don't tell me. iTunes reviews. Yeah. We have... one new review, and I'm not going to read the name because I don't want to call you out, and I'm not going to read the review because it's a spoiler for the finale, so I'm torn because I'm a little mad that I got spoiled, but I want to thank you for taking the time to go and rate us 5 stars and leave a review.
Like, so you get a pass.
And TK, you just saved me from seeing it.
Yeah. No.
Maybe she maybe she was just thinking it's the whole episode, everything's, all of these episodes are already aired, so
yeah,
she didn't know that
we still haven't seen the finale, y'all. So, yeah, okay. Thank you to everyone who has gone on to iTunes, who has left us a review, who has rated us 5 stars. Thank you. When you do that, for one, you let our producers know that you like this after show and you keep us on the air. And for another, when you rate us 5 stars, it brings our after show higher in the search rank. So if someone searches for Iron Fist, it's easier to find us. This is a point where we normally give you a shout out and read the review. But again, spoilers. Yeah. So thanks. Yay. I will appreciate it more next week, I'm sure. But yeah, please go on to iTunes. Please rate, comment, subscribe. Life will be great. If you leave a review on an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store or on the podcast feature of Google Play, please screen cap it and put it in the hashtag. Again, that is EBTV Iron Fist. We love seeing those. They're just a little more difficult for us to find. So, predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I just want to see Elektra's casket. That's my only prediction. Is that we need to see it? I want to see what's happening with it. Is she coming out of it? What's going on? I have questions.
I've heard rumors that Claire becomes White Tiger.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just stupid because of the claws, and that has nothing really to do with White Tiger. It's more of the amulet stuff.
We talk about Claire. She was Night Nurse.
Yeah. Well, I think they debunked that kind of early on just because she's... They took two characters. They took the Claire Temple and the fact that she's a nurse and kind of married them. I think the original Night Nurse is Diana Prince.
Yes.
And I made that guess. It's Wonder Woman. I was like, Wonder Woman? They use the same name?
It's
really?
Weird. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think they took kind of like two and amalgamized her. But speaking of Claire, so she just announced she's not in Punisher.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into.
And people, someone have said that now she dies in Defenders. And I hope that's just speculation because she's not in there. But if you kill her off,
no,
that is the best character overall, pretty much. She is the glue.
That holds everyone together.
And that's what cannot go a series without killing a black person.
If they kill her off.
They can't.
Yeah.
I'm maybe done because that is.
I love Claire.
She
don't
is so
hurt her.
Good. And she elevates every scene she's in.
Yeah. And that's what we've been speculating for a while. And especially when I saw that Punisher news, because as you guys know, I follow that daily. But yeah, like I was like, crap, this means that these predictions I've been making are right. And a lot of the chat was saying the same thing, that that's what brings the Defenders together.
Don't do this at the moment.
I refuse to borrow trouble like that. We'll see. I will happily speculate, oh yeah, they're gonna die, but usually that's like someone is in a terrible cliffhanger situation and then we don't see them for the rest
of
the season.
So Defenders airs this summer.
Yes.
And didn't they just say Luke Cage is getting ready to shoot?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so maybe if we know she's in that, we hear that she's been seen on set, maybe we'll be in the clear.
I doubt that they'll give us any press releases for that just to make those...
Not press releases, but those people on set. Like, they saw Matt or Charlie in his Daredevil outfit on the set of Defenders, and they snapped those from the street. So maybe we'll see her on set, hopefully.
Oh, Jesus.
I really don't want that to come
true. Here's the other thing, is that Claire Temple... might not want to help the Punisher. Whereas a lot of her superhero buddies are like, look, I'm out for good. I'm not trying to hurt
anybody. And they're bringing Karen Page in, so that's kind of another female that's with this universe that's more story-wise would fit.
Also, Punisher is much more of a lone wolf. I'm sure the last thing he's doing is like crawling into Claire's apartment late at night trying to get stitched up.
And he's probably a soldier.
He just pours whiskey on it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I stitch myself up.
All right,
he's just
point.
A real
I'm
man.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
Do we have predictions for next episode?
I have no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I have no idea.
Definitive up until the last minute.
I think the DEA is a result of, it's the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Well, no, I know that.
Just making sure.
I thought you meant, what does this have to do with, like, is it the drugs thing?
I think it's a result of Madame Gao and the heroin thing.
Yeah.
We already know that Harold got heroin planted in Ward's car in order to throw him into the mental hospital. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled on some same connection and then put Danny's name on it, especially since we have all of Gao's accounts working through Rand, and they knew about the 13th floor and those conference rooms, and that tablet has Danny's prints all over.
This seems like the way that they got Al Capone. You've got this big bad guy. Mm-hmm. It could have had this giant shootout with gangsters and the police, and now we're going to get him on tax evasion.
Yeah.
We've got the ninjas. We've got the Iron Fist, Kunlun, everything. And we're going to get down to, we're going to break it up because of he's dealing drugs? It's like, come on.
But Harold is the one setting this up, and Harold is not on the level of going to throw down with the ninjas and the Iron Fist, but hell if he ain't a savvy businessman. So he is doing what he can, and it is sometimes little things that trip you up. So that's my prediction for that.
So
is him pulling on the heroin side.
You think Danny's just going to end up in prison at the end?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. I think that's the reason that the DEA is there in the first place and that they've been called, because Harold has tied Danny to this heroin epidemic.
Okay.
Like, I think that's the reason they're there. I think this is also going to be our setup for the Defenders. I think we're going to get...
So you think the end will be a big...
I think we're getting Gao taking over Bakudo's branch of operations in addition to her own. So that's going to make them, that's going to make the hand twice as terrifying, because they have the surveillance, because they have all of these people feeding into them, and because they have all of these agents out in various businesses in New York and probably nationwide and globally.
Okay. The only reason I'm curious, because the show's been out, what, a month now?
Yeah, St. Patrick's
Day, so a
little
over. And I've not been spoiled by any major thing that's happened in this final episode. There was no big reveal of Daredevil showing up on his doorstep, helping him out, or Claire or something. There's not any of that. I have a feeling it's going to be very anticlimactic.
Yeah, I think too, because to me, I typically get spoilers if there's something
that's
big.
What I'm saying.
You know, because people will tweet you.
Right,
you know,
right,
what
right.
do you think?
And nothing's come out.
Or you accidentally see something.
Yeah.
But nothing's that big a deal,
there's
obviously.
Been no, like, this happened.
So I think this is mostly going to be consolidating Madame Gao's power, making her more of a threat,
okay.
so that way when we move into Defenders, we have her in place.
So do you think then their goal with this whole show then from the beginning is like all of our other ones, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, we can stand alone. Yes, you'll get hints of what's to come, but since Danny is... Iron Fist is leading right up to Defenders, we're going to use this as our shoehorn into it.
I legitimately think that this show, they were just checking off a box. Iron Fist is in the Defenders. We need to make an Iron Fist show.
Okay.
As opposed to, we're going to make Luke Cage. We're going to make Jessica Jones. It was, we need to make Iron Fist. It's the vegetables you eat before you can have the cake.
I honestly think that what happened with Iron Fist is that they were like, okay, well, we don't have the budget to do the magic that Iron Fist is known for.
Right.
Which is totally fair. And they were trying to figure out how to tell a really good superhero story that wasn't going to be so ninja-centered like Daredevil was. It couldn't be what Jessica Jones was, and it absolutely couldn't be what Luke Cage was. And they got muddled down in trying to figure out. They're like, oh, well, it'll be a business espionage thing. And that'll be a great way to bring in the hand, because... I love business espionage shows.
Oh, like, my God,
I like
yes.
things they're going to trade in
business
back.
Business espionage.
It's amazing.
It was
if you watch Incorporated on
show.
Sci-Fi, it was everything for me. I love, like, backhand money exchanges. I love watching bosses, like, take down other bosses.
Anyway, we're short on time.
We didn't focus on that much, but I think that's what happened. I don't think they set out to do... I don't believe they just checked the box. I just think that they didn't execute this one correctly.
Okay. I will say, closing up for myself, the costume designer from the very beginning, and the show talked about a showrunner saying, you know what, we're not doing the costume because it just would not fit with our story. And seeing now up to 13, or up to 12, there were a couple times where he could have pulled the mask on to kind of cover himself, but that full-on costume would not have worked in this show with what they're doing. So I have to side with them. They, you know, the story they wanted to tell... It would have looked ridiculous putting the costume on.
They
could have used the yellow bandana many times.
Oh, but if you have a costumed hero and you think that you're telling a story where the costume doesn't fit, that's a problem with your story.
Oh, I'm just trying to backpedal and give some good credit to the storytelling that they set to do. Yeah. But yeah, and it's missed opportunities many times with the mask. Many times. But I digress. Yeah.
You don't put frosting on a burger, but really you should have had a cupcake in the first place. Come
good,
on.
Good analogy. I like that.
Sugar Factory puts, you know,
yeah. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, now but I'm Sugar concerned. Factory can do whatever they want. No,
no. They are the Sugar Factory.
Yeah, they are the amazing. Sugar Factory. Final thoughts before we head out, Lucretia?
You know, I'm trying to keep an open mind. You know, I hope something happens that makes this kind of worthwhile and a good setup for the Defenders, but, yeah.
For me, that sword fight made it worthwhile. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's be real. It was good.
I kind of want
to push. Yeah, let's do it. Let's push for Claire Temple to get some powers next episode. Yeah. White Tiger. And then if she dies because she's White Tiger.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't experienced. I'll buy into that more. But don't you kill her just because she's a nurse.
Oh, my God. If we go a Laurel Black Canary on this.
No, God, no. Oh, God, no. No, God, no.
And I like Laurel and I like Black Canary, but this show did not do right by her.
No.
And I fully expect them to do right by Claire or there will be problems.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Mike, where can the people find you?
Guys, find me at Mike Kalinowski, Twitter, Instagram, all over.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now to take my review for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and join me Wednesday on Schmoes Know.
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. A lot of my shows are returning and a lot of my shows are ending. Arrow is back tomorrow night. Robots in Disguise is back. We start Tuesdays at 7 p.m. So next week, after the season finale of this show, Attack on Titan is back. That's 8 p.m. on Monday. And Samurai Jack, as always, is 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. Thank you guys so much for watching and we'll see you next week for the finale.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.